Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions Radio Broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that we all have joined together again for this morning message, Knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God. Of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ and all of the knowledge that God wants us to understand and what he did in sending Jesus to die for our sins, to redeem us with his blood. And all the revelation knowledge that is in Jesus Christ will help our lives so much in this earth to understand our purpose and how to have hope in him and what we should look forward to. Talk a little bit of that on yesterday on the broadcast. And of course, we're moving right along in this month of July 2017. I tell you, the days and the months are going really fast. But we want to talk about that because it's so important for us to have the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. God has already given us his word. And because we have the Bible, we have the instructions of what is to come. And we have the understanding now of God's will and his purpose for our lives. And it's so important for us to grasp and obtain this knowledge of information that God has given us so that when we see things and hear things that are transpiring in the world, even in our own personal lives, we won't faint and be disheartened because we know that Christ has already spoken these things and we can know that we are in the full, complete will of God and we can know his purpose and will for our personal lives to understand what he has done and given us redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. So we want to go before the throne of grace. After that, we're going to get straight into the Word of God, get your Bible. We have some scriptures we're going to get into. And we're going to just do a lot of commentary to bring forth some understanding in layman terms so that those that may not be familiar with scriptures, we can take our time and explain what scriptures are saying. So, Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you are leading and guiding us into all truth. We thank you for the knowledge of your word, God, that gives us wisdom and insight into the spiritual things and all that matters to you in our lives and how you want to bless us and prosper us in your word, God, that we can have complete peace, Lord, and we can be, Lord, assured and secured that you are God that keeps your covenant promises, that you have purpose and good pleasures for those that love you. We say thank you today, God, and we speak healing in the bodies of those, God, that are listening and the loved ones that they're concerned about, that you would just heal them and strengthen them, God. In the name of Jesus, we decree your word in our lives, God, and know that you're breaking down and bringing down every high place and every evil word, Lord, that's spoken against your children. Cover us with your blood, God, and let the anointing destroy every yoke of the enemy, God, every evil sanction, every evil thought, God, that has been conspired against us, Lord. We send it back, God. We just decree your word over it. And, Lord, we rejoice in the victory that you have given us in the earth in Jesus' name. So we move forward, God, to get into your word today. Next, that you will bless our minds, God, to be able to comprehend with all understanding what you're speaking to us, God. And, Lord, bring peace to those, God, that are troubled and have anxiety and are stressed, God. Deliver us, God, and just bring us into that full assurance and that resting place where we enter into your rest. Thank you for every deliverance, Lord, that is in motion for our lives, Lord. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we know that you're covering our lives, our family lives, and everything that concerns us, that you're perfecting it. In Jesus' name, we say thank you. Amen. Amen. And again, thank all of you for tuning in to the broadcast. It's a glorious day to be alive. Truly, the Lord is still on his throne, and we are alive today because God still has purpose for us. He has work for us to do, and we just got to focus on God and let him do the work in us. We thank him that he strengthened us through his word. It's through his word that we gain strength because we have knowledge of him, and we know what he's doing. Hallelujah. Let's go here into scriptures. Well, again, we're talking about knowledge of the Son of God. God wants us to have knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. Got a lot of scriptures here. And I don't know which one I really want to start with, but I know that this was the last scripture that I brought up. because when you're talking about the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done in bringing us redemption, it was a mystery that was kept secret in past ages. He kept it a secret because of the hardness, of course, of a lot of the Jewish people, the Israelites, though, that were supposed to be bearers of the word, but they became false prophets. A lot of them twisted the word of God. They became idol worshipers. And so from the rebellion of their hearts and God continuing to reach out to them, and they still wouldn't turn, and sometimes they turned to God and rebelled again, and God kept going after Israel because he loved her, and he considered himself their husband, and they were his bride, and he just loved Israel, but they kept rebelling against God. So it came a time when God just continued to allow them to be blinded from the knowledge of the revelation that was going to be revealed in Jesus Christ. So that's why today we have a lot of Jewish people that are still non-believers, because they are still blinded because of their rebellion. They have not accepted Messiah that has already came and died and risen again. They are looking for another Messiah. So in the context of saying that, when a person wants to continue to be blind, to walk in darkness without having the knowledge of the truth of God's word, God will let you be and do just that. So here in Luke chapter 3, verse 7, when Jesus was being baptized, and of course when all of the other people that were coming along being baptized by John looked up and saw a crowd, the Bible said. Let's go here to Luke chapter 3. And this is how I want to read scripture, because this scripture is going to let us see that the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ is not going to be revealed to those that are trying to have understanding with the impure heart. Because a lot of people want knowledge. See, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And a lot of people want knowledge, but it's not coming from a pure heart. They want knowledge into the things of God, but they don't want to submit themselves to the oracles and the commands of God. So when John looked up and he saw these people coming, let's look at verse 7. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, when we see that scripture right there, he called them, you generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. They were brood, beasts, offsprings of, again, people that was coming to spy out what was going on in this new revelation of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and coming to redeem. They wanted to know. So John, having the revelation knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, he knew that the secret was kept from people in time past. So when he saw pretty much the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of the onlookers and spectators coming, he knew that their heart wasn't right. They wanted to know these things so that they can talk about it and have things to say against it. So, because the Bible says that Jesus already knows what's in man. So when people don't come correct in any kind of form and fashion, and if any of us don't come correct in our attitude and our thoughts toward another, toward God, he is fully aware. He's fully aware. So he says here, bring forth therefore fruit meant for repentance. Let's read verse 8. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance is a better translation. So he's telling them, look, you generation of vipers, who have warned you? He's basically saying, who has warned you to come and look into this redemption that Jesus has brought us? Because you're going to be lost. That's what he's basically telling them. You're going to be lost. So who has warned you now that you should try to understand about this redemption, this salvation that we have?
that you should be able to flee from the wrath that is to come.
Because it's almost like he's saying, you know, it's too late for you. Because God already knows that their hearts is not pure and the hearts is continuing to be hardened. So John, he goes on to tell them that they need to bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance. Let God see that your heart is really repentant. Let God see that you're really coming to him sincere to understand what the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is all about, not trying to figure out and come to the Bible with your own preconception knowledge to try to overthrow and have bad things to say and ridicule and scorn believers for what we believe, having a negative word in your heart and your mind about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of your hardness of your heart. He said, if you're going to come, then you need to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Like, show something, some substance of humility. Show some substance of repentance from your sins. And begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I have said to you that God is able to turn these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Look at verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is chopped down and cast into the fire. See, he's letting them know here that if you're coming to spy out things which you know not of, and you come in with the impure heart, look, the axe is already laid at the root of the tree. And if you're not going to bring forth fruit for repentance and bring forth basically good deeds from a good heart, you're going to be cut down and cast into the fire. That's still what's happening today. The world is going to be judged severely by God. And the Bible says that if the righteous scarcely make it in. What about the righteous, those of us that have been redeemed? Like, we're holding on, like, not like we're barely holding on, but we're holding on to Christ. We're holding on to our faith. But what about the unjust of the world, false prophets? They don't even have a chance. They don't even have a chance. The axe is already laid at the root of the tree. So he tells them to bring forth fruit meant for repentance, worthy of repentance. And he said, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father, because that is what the children of Israel, the Jews, even today, like to hang on to. We have Abraham our father because we were born of the Jewish lineage. Well, scriptures, according to Paul, of course, goes on to let us understand that is not about the natural inheritance, the natural lineage of a person being born a Jew. It's not about that now. It's about the spiritual inheritance that God has given us in Christ Jesus. If you want to belong to God now, he tells us through the scriptures, to tell the Jews through the scriptures, you have to come through Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual inheritance. And salvation is not just for you now, it's for all people. But God has to let the Jewish nation know this. Now, let's look at another scripture here. We got to go to another scripture here. And, of course, I want to go to Romans 16:25. Because we're going to just read the scriptures, and guess what? They're going to all tie in together where we're going to understand the knowledge of the Son of God, the purpose of him giving us the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have to understand it because our whole lives matter upon the knowledge of knowing the Son of God and knowing the purpose of what God did in sending Jesus, not just to know that he forgives us of our sins, which that's so ultimate, but to understand all of the spiritual inheritance and all of the promises of God, and to understand how evil is working in this world, and to understand how to overthrow it through the power and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that he's given us, equipping us with the full armor of God. So we want to go to Romans. Actually, excuse the little barking little dog back there. We're enjoying some airborne fresh air today. And so we want to be able to get over here to Romans 16. Now, we want to look here at verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. This is Paul talking in scriptures, giving the church this letter. Let's read it again. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Again, as we talked about John, when he saw the people coming, the multitudes trying to spy out what's going on. See, it was a mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, when you look in that scripture, I love to talk about the scripture in Genesis 3:15. I love to talk about that scripture because years ago, I think I was a newborn babe in Christ. Probably haven't been saved a year, but I was under a very the teaching church, and they went to that particular scripture. I always wanted to know what that meant and how was they able to understand this. And thank God for blessed theologians and very knowledgeable men and women of God that just took their time to study, to research and understand the Greek, the Hebrew words of the Septuagint and the Old Testament Hebrew. And we're able now to understand what God meant and speaking in the mystery of the word about a seed, the seed of the woman that was going to come forth from her, being Jesus, to bruise Satan's head by coming to shed his blood to bring us redemption, breaking off the bondage and the curse from our lives, to bring us salvation in Jesus. And Satan was going to strike the heel of the seed, meaning that was going to be the crucifixion, to strike the heel of Jesus, to be persecuted and scorned and whipped and beaten all the way to the cross for us. That was the striking of the heel. God and then Jesus crushed his head, given us the redemption. And so now when we read the Bible, when Jesus said that I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me. He is talking about all of the mysteries leading up until him coming, being born of the Virgin Mary. To restore us back in perfection way as through redemption. That's why all who believe in Jesus have a new life in him, because God has now given us that redemption, because we have confessed our sins, repented of our sins, and received Jesus Christ into our lives. So again, Romans 16:25, the latter part said that he is made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Let's go back to verse 25. That's verse 6. I want to get ahead of ourselves. According, verse 25, let's just read verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Paul is letting the church know that he wants them to be established in the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, because now to him that is a power, God is able to give us the power, to give us the strength, to fight the good fight of faith. So we have to know what's going on in the spiritual world when we attack, when things come at us, when things happen we don't really understand. We have to understand in the spirit the mystery of what God says is going on. As scripture tells us a lot of times in scriptures, you know, fight the good fight of faith. Be not dismayed at the trouble or the fire that got pulled down from holes. That is the spiritual powers of the wickedness in high places that fights against us all the time. That is what that is. And you know what? The main purpose for us to be open and have understanding of the knowledge of the Son of God is so that we don't faint and we don't give up, but we have hope and faith in Jesus that He got us and He's working all things out for our good after the counsel of His own will. Have to know that if you're in Christ, you are in Christ. You are in Christ. It's more than just a religion. Christ is so much far greater, eternally the glory than just religion. Religion has a place in God knows it's for those that are trying to understand God. It's good for you. It's good for all of us a bit. But we have to understand the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, not having a form of religion and denying the power. We want access to the power. We want to know our spiritual inheritance. We want to know what Christ has really done for us. You want to know who you are so that you can stand firm in your faith in the face of opposition, in the face of trial, in the face of temptation, in the face of your mistakes and your failures. You need to know who you are in Christ so that you don't give up and lose hope because you thought you were so perfect in the world. Because some people feel that, you know, when they mess up, they just feel like throwing in the towel, that they're no good for nothing and God ain't going to receive them. That's so far from the truth when you know Jesus Christ. Understand His word of grace for your life and what He's done in perpetuating, covering our sins and giving us the strength and the ability to move on in faith and set aside, lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us and get up and run this race with patience again. We have to keep moving forward in Christ, believing the whole word of God. So we look at verse 26 here. He says, but now is made manifest. What? What's made manifest? The revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all generations, all nations, for the obedience of faith. Okay, well, now God has given us this knowledge of why He sent Jesus for the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave only begotten Son. Okay, so now He's made known to all nations for the obedience of faith that we should hear. As the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the day we hear His voice, harden our hearts. When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you hear what He's done and how much He loves us and what He's done for us and how He's delivered us and sent Jesus to die for our sins, to give us redemption, to rid of our flesh, okay, there's an obedience that we need to follow in faith. We need to submit and humble ourselves. See, nobody is above the word of God. The word of God reads all of our lives and show us what we need to get out of us. And Christ does that, purges us. We're going to read a little bit of that scripture too, how after He had made atonement, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father. And now He's praying and interceding for us that our faith fail us not, but that we keep overcoming through the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. That's why we got to focus on God and don't let people get to you, situations get to you, but keep striving God, because you know what? The Bible says that we have to work at our own soul salvation. When it comes down to the end of the day, it's just about you and God. Verse 27 says, to God only, wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Beautiful scripture here. Beautiful scripture to let us know about the mystery that has been revealed now in Jesus Christ. The mystery that was there since, kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest to us. And scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, has been made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It's a reason. Now, we're going to go on to another scripture here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God's word continues to bless our hearts and our minds to understand, open up our understanding. So when we read the Bible, we have to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ to breathe on us. It's another scripture that tells about how Jesus breathed on them and opened up their understanding to understand scriptures. I wish I could just turn to that one. But we don't have the time right now, but it talks about that. He breathed on them so that they can understand scriptures. See, the spiritual senses came open. They begin to understand the deep knowledge of the Lord. When you start understanding the deep knowledge of the Lord, it's for you to keep your life and to help you. Then in your ministry, you'll be able to share with others because that's what God wants. Once you understand the knowledge of God, you're able to convey to others so that they can get a grasp of the knowledge of everything that God says about Jesus. So that they don't go around just walking like a form of religion, in a form of religion, with no power. Because once you know the knowledge of Christ, you have power. You have power. You just don't sit and settle for anything in life. You receive the abundance of the grace of God, the abundance of the prosperity of God, and having life and life more abundantly in Him. And then you're able to discern good from evil. So let's look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we want to start here Let's go to verse 2. Well, let's start at verse 1. We got to start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what Paul is saying in these scriptures is that we have the word of God and a ministry that he has given unto us. And because of that, we have received mercy and we don't faint. But look what we do. We renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. And this is talking about everything in life, but particularly Paul is getting down to the root of God's word. We don't want to handle God's word improperly. You want to make God angry? Handle his word improperly and teach it and preach it for your own good, as your own self, as far as your selfish ambition to prophesy lies to people. If you use God's word deceitfully to prophesy lies, you're in trouble with God. So he said, we don't handle God's word deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Yeah. We manifest the truth of God's word and what he really came to do. God takes us on every level to understand his word and to teach it. Whether it's the word of chastisement, as the Bible says, that all scriptures are inspired by God and used and profitable for instructions, correction, admonishing, and everything that he sends it forth to. So we don't use God's words deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have to have a conscience before men and God that we're doing right by God's word. But look what it says in verse 3, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, those that are perishing, those that do not want the truth, those that do not want to understand scriptures. It says here, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is the image of God should shine in them. Oh, praise God. Satan keeps people from understanding God's word. Satan keeps people from understanding the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. He don't want them to really understand the mystery that has been revealed. He just wants them to think that this is just the Bible without even reading to understand. Lest the gospel shine in them, the image of God shine unto them, like the image of God shining through the face of Jesus Christ to show us the way of holiness and the right way to live so that we can bring him glory and our lives can be spared
terrible things that we probably would do to ourselves. See, if we preach, look what it says here, the next verse. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's why verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power, basically, that's in the word, may be of God and not of ourselves. Then you read on down to verse 8 and all that. It gives us, show us what the power does for us when we are troubled. Stress. It says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, not perplexed, not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Why? Because we have the power of the treasure of this word, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We know where our help comes from. We know what this word says, that God has given us his word and his goodness. So we want to go to another scripture. We got our prompt. Oh, we got to hasten up here. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. And let's look at verse 1. For God, at a sundry times, another translation, at various times and in divers manners, spoke in time past unto our fathers by the prophets. Now he, in his last days, has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. See, God has already sent Jesus to give us the knowledge that we need. He left the Holy Spirit for us to be able to comprehend purpose, the revelation knowledge of who he is, what is to come, what he's going to do, and how we should know his perfect will for our lives. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and the whole of all things by the word of his power, and he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. See, that's what Christ did for us. Purged our sins, and he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. These is what the things that God wants us to understand. And Jesus is speaking to us through his word, like he gives us the kingdom of God. Not in the natural kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. We live in a spiritual kingdom because everything now is spiritual, what God has done for us. Now, I'm going to read something in Ephesians really quickly. Oh, I hope I have time, and I want to go to Jude. Because even if I go there, I just explain this a little bit. The book of Jude talks about how people and false prophets try to understand the deep things in the spiritual world. They speak of things that they don't even know of. And they twist the word of God for their own good, for their own selfish ambition against. And the Bible says they heap up wrath upon themselves. We have to stick with Scripture. You read the Bible, it's just what it is. So we don't want to twist God's word to mean something that it doesn't mean for our lives. We want to stay in the realm of the flow of the Holy Spirit that speaks his goodness and his good pleasures in our lives. So let's go to Ephesians real quick. There's something in here that I want us to be able to understand again. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin at verse 13. Now, it's going to seem a little odd that I'm going to start at verse 13, but for the sake of time, we got our prompts, I'm going to have, well, let's start at verse 12. Let's start there. Because now I can explain to you. Here in verse 11, it talks about how God is giving, he's distributing the gifts of apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors. What it says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all have to come on the same page, on one accord, and understand who Christ is. And that's why he distributed all the gifts of teaching and ministries, all of the gifts of apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, because we're supposed to be teaching the same thing and coming into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because we are the body of Christ, and he's gathering us to be on one accord in our minds and our heart and loving one another and understanding. It's a spiritual kingdom. You know, just like in the natural, you have people that have groups, and if you're not a part of that group, you don't really know what's going on in that group. And they have things that they know, what they're getting ready to do, what they're expecting, and how they encourage one. In the spiritual realm, it's like that in the body of Christ. We come together and fellowship. When you meet a Christian, you may not have never seen them in your life. But when you meet them and you begin to talk to them and you find out that they understand the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery of Jesus has been revealed to them in Scripture, and they understand the spiritual inheritance and the body of Christ, and you all begin to talk and just feel you've been knowing each other for years, because that is the Spirit of Christ. That is the Spirit of God inside of them. The Son of God being revealed, has already been revealed. And we are coming into the unity of the faith to be on one accord. That's why we should all get along and love each other as Christ said. Till we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect stature, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body is fitly joined together and impacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of the every part, making increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Everything coming together, being fitly joined. We need one another. Everybody need one another. Every joint supply it. You supply me, I supply you. Iron sharpen iron. We just keep helping, refreshing one another. That is understanding the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings has given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ if you do these things, lasciviousness and working all kind of uncleanness with greediness, needing more and more and more money and more money and more money and more whatever, more lust and more lust, and you have not even learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. You don't even know or have understanding what Christ is really all about. That is basically what the scriptures are saying here, Paul is saying here. So he said, don't be walking around not having understanding. Don't be darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, we got to come up more higher. In a lot of things in our life, we have to be so careful. Look what it says in here. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And he tells us to continue to tell us what to do, because he wants us to stay spiritual. That's why he tells us to put off concerning former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. God helps us get there. He helps us get there. But he really wants us to have the understanding of how we should live. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, in him also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So he has given us this wonderful word for us to understand. our spiritual inheritance. Now, we look at Jude real quick. I don't know how many minutes we have. Let's see how many minutes we have. Make up 3 minutes, if that. But when you look in the book of Jude, Jude is getting on, you know, talking about, again, these false teachers and prophets that don't have knowledge into the right, true thing, the spiritual things of God. They speak evil of those things which they know not. What they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto you, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, in Jude's letter, getting on people that supposed to be believers and teachers of the word, but false teachers, dreamers, you know, they defiling, wound up people. False teachers can really wound people. They can really turn somebody's life upside down. That's why they're going to be judged very severely. They disturb people's mind. They cause all kinds of turbulence home. And so he's letting us know about these things. And what they do is take people on a course where they worship other things rather than God. It turns people's minds to be prevented to understand God's word. So what he's telling us now, that the lies, that the false prophets and their disordered appetite and affections for what is not right for the world, basically for the world, their religion, their false religion that is unjust, they oppose everything that God said. People that's supposed to be religious, people that's supposed to be in the body of Christ, false teachers that have gone away. They don't bring forth the knowledge of the Son of God. But in the end, God will do away with them. God is going to judge them. Because when you get into his word, God calls you to be teachers. That's why the Bible says not many can teach, because teachers have a stricter way. If you're going to be a teacher, you know, make sure God calls you, because it's not an easy way. Because you're going to be judged more stricter than anybody. Because we know the truth. And so we don't twist the truth. We don't preach the truth for anything of our own selfish ambition or selfish gain. Because false teachers, I tell you, you're going to punish severely the world that has come. God is going to judge you. So you want to give people and help them understand the knowledge of the Son of God and the spiritual inheritance that he has given us, that they too can live a good life here on earth. We don't want people dying and being lost for what we have taught that wasn't right, that wasn't true. Have to preach the truth whether people want to hear it or not. So we just thank God that he has given us his word and understanding the purpose of the Son of God, the purpose of God sending Jesus into the earth to bring us redemption, and to know and have knowledge of him, of our spiritual inheritance and all that is to come. Or we can remain. And so many scriptures give us what we need to strengthen us, to help us to have faith, to know, as the book of Philippians 4:13 says, that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He tells us to be of good courage, because he has overcome the world. There's a mystery in Christ that's been revealed to us that we just have to hold on to in our hearts. Hallelujah, and look to Jesus every single day for strength. So we thank all of you for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.